Our scripture reading this morning is found in Psalm 66. As you know, we're working through the Psalms. This will take us all the way up through Easter. And the Psalms are just a wonderful way to help us connect in a very real, genuine way with God through some of them are praises, most of them are prayers. It's just a wonderful book of worship in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They pass through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and offering of lambs and offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Usually around the holidays, but it could be at other times during the year as well. In the past, my wife and my daughter and I have gone shopping together. And usually there's some time in there where it's mother and daughter shopping time and dad has to figure out something else to do, which is fine by me. And this was one of those times at the mall where it was wait for the girls time for me. So there I found a Starbucks and I went and got some hot chocolate and I found a seating area just outside of Starbucks there, nice big comfy couch that I sat in and just thought I'd just relax. I like to people watch, and so I was just gonna sit there and wait till Hope and Becky found their way back to me. Well, as I settled in, I noticed across the table from me in a big comfy couch on the other side of the seating area was an older gentleman. He was probably 20 years older than me, and he was working intently on his MacBook, and he had some big thick reference book that was there with him that he looked at once in a while and back and forth, and I tried to make some eye contact with him just so that we could connect and maybe have even a simple polite conversation, but that never happened. He was very busy. I said, okay. But then I looked a little closer and I noticed that he had on this kind of mustard yellow mock long sleeve turtleneck. And over that he had a black fleeced vest that zipped all the way up the front. And he had on blue jeans and tennis shoes. I said, wait, that's exactly the same outfit I have on. I had the exact same thing on as he had. And I just couldn't wait for him to look up and notice that we were wearing the same thing and wondered what in the world he would do, what his reaction would be. But that never happened. I never made eye contact with him. And then I wondered, do people walking around us notice? Do they think maybe we're twinsies or something and we were wearing the exact same outfit? So I discreetly, it's hard to be discreet, but I took a picture of him with my phone. And then I couldn't wait for Becky and Hope to get back and see what their reaction would be about that. You ever have something really weird like that happen to you? You know, you just notice something and then all of a sudden, at least for me, it was, wow, this is crazy. How can this be? We're wearing the exact same thing. And usually when that happens, we just can't wait to share it with somebody. It's like I couldn't wait for this man to look up and notice and talk about that. I couldn't wait for Becky and Hope to get back and see. I couldn't wait to show somebody on my phone, this guy and me, we were wearing the same thing. And it doesn't have to be weird. Maybe it's something really amazing, or maybe it's something really special. We like to share those kinds of experiences with other people. And lots of people use social media to do that, Facebook or Twitter, post those kinds of events there. And I'm not on Facebook and I'm not on Twitter, so I use my phone to take a picture. And many of you have seen pictures on my phone of things that I thought were really strange. You probably thought, why is he showing me this? But, you know, a few weeks ago when there was snow all across the street in the front of the church here and I was parked out there, when I got out of my car, I looked down in the snow and there were footprints in the snow. Well, that's not a big deal, except they were deer prints in the snow, right outside in the street in front of the church. I thought that was strange, so I took a picture. And I showed Cliff and others, you know, look. There was a deer right here walking in front of the church in the street. So things like that, you know, are things that we think either are weird or amazing or special, and we try to capture them and share them with other people. And I think we do that because there's something in the sharing of our experiences that validates what we've gone through. There's something in the sharing of something weird or amazing or special, a blessing, whatever it be, that helps complete the whole experience for us. Seems like something's missing if we don't get to share it. It almost, if we don't share something wonderful that's happened or something weird that's happened, it doesn't seem validated or authenticated in our life until we do. And the same thing is true when it comes to our faith. We experience something amazing, something special from God. It might be answered prayer, or it might be some protection or some provision that God has made for us. Maybe some great miracle, or even just some small blessing, some God sighting. Look, this is God at work in my life. And we have to tell somebody. And when we do, that just kind of brings it full circle. It validates it, completes it, authenticates that experience, that God moment in our life. And that's what it means to be a witness. That's what it means to be someone who has seen or experienced God in their life and then tells others. That's what we call a witness. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, the Bible says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord." So witnesses aren't just reserved for the New Testament followers of Jesus. But even in the Old Testament, God wanted his people to share what they had experienced from him with others. And of course, when we get the New Testament, Jesus says that's who we are. Then they gathered around Jesus. This is Acts chapter 1. They asked him, "Lord, is it going to be at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus kind of deflected their attention to the future and brought it right down to the present. He says, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but here's what is important. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's what's important. You're a witness. I'm a witness. All God's children are witnesses to the work of the Lord. The Holy Spirit empowers us not to walk on water, not to know all the answers, not to leap tall buildings at a single bound, but God's Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses, to notice what God is doing in this world, in our lives, and then tell that to somebody, share that with others. But I know that's easier said than done. How do we do that? How do we harness the power of God's Spirit within us? His grace, His love, all that we know that comes from above. How do we harness that power into being witnesses for God? How do we know when and what to say? Where do we find the boldness to speak up? How do we know how to post God is good all the time in our lives? Psalm 66 is a good example of what we should be doing to be witnesses for the Lord. So think about that and kind of put that in the back of your mind, as if you run across an opportunity to maybe say something for the Lord sometime. Maybe you have a burden to want to share God with somebody else. Remember, on this particular Sunday a long time ago, Pastor Scott talked about Psalm 66, and that's a good model for us to use. Just kind of log that in the back of your mind. The first couple of verses of the psalm talk about the content, or I should say the context of witnessing. Listen to this. Shout for joy, all the earth. Sing about the glory of His name. Tell how glorious He is. The context of our witness flows out of our worship, our adoration, our praise for the Lord. Witnessing is done in the context of worship. It does not mean that we just give our testimony on Sunday mornings in the sanctuary. But it means that we're always ready, anytime, anywhere, to point out the glory of God. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. That's worship. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious, glorious songs. Glory in the Bible, sometimes we think of it as that kind of golden aura all around the Lord. You know, some pictures that we have of Jesus have a halo that lights up around Jesus' head. And usually that's kind of reserved for anybody who might be holy or saintly. And we think of that as the glory of God, the Old Testament word Shekinah, shining out. But basically, glory in the Bible is not that angelic glow. Instead, it's something more tangible. It's the real essence, the real presence of God, how He is visible in this world. And Psalm 66 is telling us, go show that glory. Go point out that glory to the rest of the world when you see it. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen the glory of the one and only Son of God, full of grace and truth. That's what glory is in the Bible. It's the very real presence of God that we can experience. It's tangible. It's something that we can talk about and point to others about. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 puts it this way, keep your hearts at attention. This is the Message translation. In adoration before Christ, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. The more we live in an environment of worship, the more our hearts and minds are always on the lookout for the glory of the Lord, the better prepared we will be to be witnesses, to share that with others. That's why the power of the Holy Spirit is within us. It's not only to shape us and transform us and change us and mold us into the image of Christ. That's, you know, an important part of the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's also to give us the boldness, the courage, the insight, the wisdom to be able to speak about the glory of God and share that with others. It's kind of like when you're in tune to something, and this is what kind of being in a constant state of worship is about. You're kind of in tune with the Lord. You eat, sleep, drink, breathe, you know, the presence of God. The more we're in that mindset, the more we're ready and prepared, the more we're passionate and eager to talk about our Lord and his love to others. You may have a particular passion for something, maybe a hobby that has got your interest and your energies. I have a handful of those in my life. One of them is I'm a bird brain. I love birds. And the other day I was sitting in our family room and a bird flew by our window. This was not just like a sparrow. This was something that was big, flew by the window, just caught my eye. And I looked out the window and sure enough, there was a hawk that flew right by our window. I mean, it's lucky that it didn't fly into our window. And as I looked out the window, he'd flown up into a tree in our backyard. But then when I kind of looked down at where he had been, in the snow, right outside our window, that hawk had landed, just touched down briefly. He was probably chasing another little bird. And that bird flew through the railings of our deck and got away, and the hawk couldn't fly through there. So he put on the brakes, and he stopped in the snow as he changed course and then flew up into the tree. Well, in the snow, he left his wing print, his left wing print, the main feathers that he uses to fly, and then all the other feathers that make up the wing were perfectly imprinted in the snow right outside my window. And of course, that probably didn't mean much to anybody. Becky, come here quick, look at this. Where's my phone? I gotta get a picture of this. Which I did, and you can see later if you'd like. But you see what I'm talking about? When you're focused on something, when you've got a brain that's tuned into something that you're passionate about, then all of a sudden you see those kinds of things. And it's the same with witnessing. When we're in the context of worship in our life, where our mind is focused on praise and God's presence, then we'll see him at work in a lot of places that people may not notice, and then we can point out to him. We can take a picture. We can post it. We can tell somebody about God's love. Psalm 66 goes on to tell us what is the content of our witness as well. Not only the context, but also the content of our witness. In verse 5, and then again in verse 16, it says this: "Come and see what our God has done, what awesome miracles he performs." That's verse 5. Verse 16, "Come and listen, and I will tell you what he did for me." So our witness is all about God. It's not about us. And there's two aspects of it. There's the big picture. Come and see what amazing miracles God has done for us. That's the big picture. In the Old Testament, the big picture was the Exodus, the delivery of God's people out of slavery into the promised land. That whole deliverance sequence, that history that God's people had, the Israelites, from leaving Egypt, going through the wilderness, entering the promised land, getting set up as God's holy nation in the promised land. That's the big picture of God's work for his people. And so, come and see that. I want to show you that. Is the Old Testament witness. The big picture is important. I don't know if you know the name of Eddie Fox. Eddie Fox was a United Methodist leader in our church. He was gifted with evangelism. He was passionate about telling people about Jesus. For 25 years, he served as the World Methodist Evangelism Director. From 89 to 2014, he was a powerful leader in our church. One trip, he went overseas, and as he flew back to the United States, landed in Atlanta, he had to go through customs. And the customs agent there, now remember, Eddie is from Eastern Tennessee, so he had that Eastern Tennessee kind of vocabulary. And so the customs agent said when he was came into the Atlanta airport, he asked, do you have anything to declare? Which is a normal customs question. And Eddie Fox said, I declare Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of the world, that he loves you, and that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And the custom agent eyes got real big and said, well, I declare. Yeah. And see, that big picture of God's love for us and his salvation and what Christ has done for us, that's what we declare. That's the content of our witness. And it's not hard. It doesn't have to be complicated. We remember just a few things. We remember that God has this plan for us. It's an amazing plan. It includes forgiveness of our sins. It includes joy and peace in our soul. It includes a life that's abundant and eternal. And then a place called heaven when this life is over that God has prepared for us. That's God's plan for us all. But we have a problem. See, there's another P. So there's a plan and then a problem. And that problem is our sin, our human nature, the twistedness of what God had intended for us to be like in Adam and Eve, and then what's become corrupt because of sin. And every human being has that corrupt seed within us. And because of that problem, we can't participate in God's plan. We can't. There's no way that we can experience the eternal life because of the problem that we have. It's kind of like a 40-year-old person who has an office job. They can't get vaccinated right now for the COVID virus because it's not their turn yet. And some have tried and have been found out and been turned away. And so this virus that we have, this sinful virus that we have that corrupts our human nature with our selfishness and our rebellion and our self-centeredness, that keeps us from getting that wonderful salvation vaccine. Keeps us out of God's plan. But the good news is God has made a provision for us. Okay, so you got plan, problem, provision. And that provision is Jesus Christ. What we can't do for ourselves in entering God's plan of eternal life and wonderful blessing for us, Jesus has made a way for us by his death on the cross, by the power of his resurrection, by the presence of his Spirit. We now can enter into that plan. Jesus is the way for us to enter into the plan of eternal life that God has for us. And so that's why it's good news. Because what we can't do for ourselves, God has done for us through Jesus. And that provision then finally leads to a decision. We either decide, yes, I want to be part of that plan and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, or no, you know, that really doesn't make any sense to me and I'm not going in that direction. So that's the big picture. Plan, problem, provision, and then a decision. And you can remember that. That's the content. But if you can't remember that, there's not only a big picture, there's a small picture. There's my picture, there's your picture. And that's what verse 16 was about. Come and listen and I'll tell you what he's done for me. And what he's done for me is he's heard my prayers. Amazing way that he's answered those prayers. What he's done for me is to extend to me grace and mercy. And I'll tell you, I know my sins are forgiven. What he's done for me is set me on a path to eternal life. I am absolutely certain that heaven is real and that God has a place for me in heaven. And I have that assurance in my soul. I have that peace. I know the love and the amazing grace and the mercy of God. I've experienced it. In spite of my sin, in spite of my hardship and troubles in my life, I know God loves me. That's my picture. So if we don't remember the big picture, that content, we can remember my picture, your picture, and that content of our witnessing. I stopped short in Psalm 66 of finishing it out, so we stopped in our reading at verse 16. These are the last few verses. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has two things, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. I know that. That's my story. And I can share it with you. I can post it for all the world to see. That's what it means to be a witness. And what happens when we do that? Well, what happens when we share the good news with others, whether it's the big picture or my picture, is that it becomes contagious. God has designed it that way. When we tell things about him, he works to kind of pique the interest and the curiosity of another soul by design. The result of our witness is that people everywhere, anywhere, come to know God. This doesn't usually happen, but in the Psalms, every once in a while, there's one theme that kind of carries over from psalm to psalm, and that happens here too. I read a little bit further into Psalm 67, and that's exactly what Psalm 67 is about. It's about the whole world coming to know God. So Psalm 66 is about our witness, the context of that witness, the content of that witness. And then Psalm 67 is what happens if we be faithful to that and we share God. And it says this in the first few verses. God, be merciful to us and bless us. Make your face to smile on us, so that the whole world may know your will, so that all nations may know your salvation. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. God has blessed us, and may people everywhere honor him. That's the result of our witnessing. When we invite people to come and see, or we invite people to come and listen, it's God uses it to stir other people's souls. And when we let other people know, we'll see God work. It's up to God how he works. It's up to people how they respond. We can't twist people's arms. We can't make God do something. But when we set the table with the amazing grace of God and we invite others to come and see or come and listen, good things will happen. Light yourself on fire with passion for the Lord, and people will come from miles to watch you burn. Some people attribute that saying to John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. A more modern version of that might be, spray Gorilla Glue in your hair and post it on TikTok, and 30 million people from around the world will want to know your story. Same thing. Just depends what your content is. Several years ago, I had a chance to be in Atlanta, Georgia, the reference to Atlanta, but at the Atlanta Dome, where 50, 60,000 pastors from all across the country and some from other countries were there to be inspired for a few days and challenged and uplifted, and it was just a marvelous, marvelous event. One night after we'd finished at the Georgia Dome, we were all going our separate ways, and many of us use the MARTA system, which is the public transportation system there in the city of Atlanta. And some of us were going north and some of us were going south, and we were in the MARTA station, which was underground, and so we're in this tunnel. And it's a tiled tunnel, and the acoustics are unique in there, and because there was a large group that had been dismissed from the Georgia Dome all at once, there was a whole bunch of people who were getting on board. And so there were probably 100 pastors on one side of the tracks in that station, and about 100 pastors on the other side of the tracks in this station, mixed in with some, other folks. And while we were waiting for the trains to come, somebody started singing on one side, "This is the day," and then on the other side, they responded, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And then all of a sudden, 100 voices, "That the Lord has made, we will rejoice, we will rejoice." And it went back and forth like that. And you know how that song goes. "This is the day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it." A couple 100 voices filling that MARTA station with their singing. And the singing died down after that song, and people were just having a good time, feeling good. And the trains hadn't come yet, so somebody started, "Amazing Grace." And then all the voices joined in to sing "Amazing Grace," all in harmony, all beautiful. It just, right now, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. And then we finished that song, and the trains came, and everybody got in. And I got to thinking about, I wonder what people, if it gave me chills, what people who were there, unsuspecting, not part of this minister's gathering, regular citizens of Atlanta, I wonder how it affected them. I don't know. But I know God knows. And that is such a beautiful setting where somebody may have sensed the glory of God. And it made an eternal, eternal difference in their life. We don't know what's going to happen when we share a God sighting with others. But more than likely, God's going to use it to make a difference in somebody's life. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we have been empowered by your Spirit to be witnesses to your glory in this world. And so we pray that, first of all, you help us to pay more attention so that we can see you at work in this world, in our lives, and then we can be empowered to share. We ask that you draw people into your grace when we point out how amazing and how wonderful you are. In Jesus' name, amen.